Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Welcome back. I am Molly Smith, your host. I want to remind you all that our program is available for download. You can do so by going to our website, fromthemedian.org. Listeners, as always, wonderful to have you with me. Thank you so much for joining. And I'm hoping you're spreading the news everywhere that you go to tell people to listen into our program, because we have got the most incredibly interesting guests. And right now we're going to do a book review. And I love the book reviews that we do, the programs when we have authors on to talk about the incredible work that they do. I am always in awe of authors, people who can sit down and put their thoughts to paper and, you know, just make it all happen and actually get a book published. I love it. So right now we're about to interview, and I'm loving it, a longtime friend of mine. In fact, somebody who I think was one of the very first people I met when I started working in the pro-life movement in Ohio. So it's been a long time, but it's been, she's been very busy for, I've been involved for 23, going on 24 years, and she's been involved for longer than that, I'm sure. I am, of course, talking about Marilyn Kopp. Marilyn is, she served as the president of the Ohio chapter of Feminists for Life of America for 10 years, and she is the author of a brand new book that's called Peace Begins in the Womb, Reflections from a Pro-Life Feminist. It's a collection of letters to the editor and articles that she has published over the last 34 years. She served as the spokesperson for Feminists for Life, did all kinds of radio interviews, television interviews. She's lectured at several Ohio colleges. And I can tell you all that I know firsthand that if we wanted to get something published, in fact, we've just come through our dreadful constitutional amendment. And I know that Marilyn was busy writing letters to the editors right at that time. So without further ado, Marilyn, thank you for joining me. This is so great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Molly. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. So, you have worked your whole life pretty well. Your whole adult life, you've been involved in this movement. Tell us a little bit about, firstly, number one, why, I mean, obviously Feminists for Life, so you have a very strong opinion of how things should be, but why did you become a pro-life activist?
Well, I've always been pro-life ever since I asked my mother what abortion was, and she told me, but thinking that it only occurred in terminal cases, you know, prognosis, I said to my mom, the baby's going to die anyway, right? And when she said no, I was shocked. I couldn't believe any woman could ever do this. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do anything about it until I became pregnant myself with my daughter and felt her kicking. Then I knew I had to get involved. So The first thing I did was I joined the pro-life group at my church, and through them I found out about Cleveland Right to Life, and through Right to Life I found out about Feminists for Life. And when I learned that the founders of the American feminist movement were all pro-life, I knew I had found my home, so to speak.
Wow. Wow, Marilyn. Why, you know, this is, it's so funny. I mean, people often ask me the same thing. What, you know, what made you get involved in it? And I have to tell you, it's very similar to you. It's like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're going to, you know, kill your baby? And it wasn't even, how can you not be pregnant, sort of thing? It was always that sort of idea as to, what are you talking about? You know, so there's a sort of a disconnect completely with women, with womanhood, and an abortion. It's a complete disconnect. You yes. have explained that so well in so many of your letters. Why did you decide right now that it's time to put this all together and write this book?
To me, to put all my published writings in a book, because and when I found Feminists for Life, it made so much sense to me. Because the abortion issue, you know, it's misogynistic mm-hmm. to suggest that women are oppressed by their life-giving capacity. And we'll never be totally free until we acknowledge that the beauty, power, and strength of pregnancy is something that needs to be supported and acknowledged. and accommodated, not devalued and denigrated.
Absolutely. Very well said. That's the most, I love that, that this, you know, suggesting that we should abort our children is misogynistic. You're absolutely right. Because in so many cases, Marilyn, I don't know whether you've seen the latest statistics that's come out from the Charlotte Logier. I think it's Charlotte Logier that put it out that more than 70% of women who abort their children are actually being pressured into it. So you cannot tell me that this is something women want. It's for the vast majority of women do not want to abort their children, which is an incredible thing. Before I go any further though, however, I do need to tell you all where to get this amazing book. It's called Peace Begins in the Womb, Reflections from a Pro-Life Feminist. Go to Amazon, if you just type that into your search engine, it'll pop it up. You can get it from Amazon, or you can also get it from Barnes and Noble. So please go there and order your edition and read it, because I think Marilyn's ability to actually get to the root and the cause and the nitty gritty of what it is that we're fighting is amazing. You're going to have all of this information at your fingertips through her publications over the past 30 plus years. So please do make sure you go get it. Marilyn, you talk about, you are a very strong feminist. I mean, you've always been that way. You've always, you know, you've always stood very strongly for women's rights and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, how do you relate to other feminists around you who are actually pushing this? They're pushing abortion.
Yeah, I try to communicate with them that abortion conflicts with authentic feminist principles of justice, nonviolence, and non-discrimination. And those feminists who defend abortion have instead adopted the worst patriarchal standards.
Absolutely.
Of seeking power through control and domination, condoning violence on the grounds of personal privacy, and using killing as a solution to conflict. If in order to be equal, women have to change their bodies to become like men, wombless and unpregnant at will, then we have not established justice. We've simply adopted the standards of our oppressors and fashioned ourselves in his image, because women were once treated as property of their husbands, so it's hypocritical to impose the same unjust standards on our children.
Mm-hmm. You know, very well said. I mean, I think this is exactly why I think pro-life feminists get so upset. And I consider myself a feminist as well. You know, I'm not necessarily one of the ones that are going to join feminist organizations, but I am a feminist because I believe in the power and beauty of a woman. Exactly what you've just said. I totally believe that I have the ability to be able to bear children, to take care of my children, you know, to deal. And I've done it. I mean, we've done, yes, my husband has always been beside me, and that's been a beautiful gift from God. But I know that, you know, there have been times when he's not been there because he's been away working or whatever it happened to be. And that doesn't mean to say that I'm suddenly, you know, no longer able to take care of children. It's an amazing thing to me, Marilyn, to think that the rhetoric that goes around this whole issue, it is so degrading and demoralizing for women. Unbelievable.
Yes. Absolutely. And a lot of people aren't aware of the history of pro-life feminism. The women who founded the feminist movement in this country in the 1800s, they were all adamantly opposed to abortion. And many of them were abolitionists as well, because they understood that they believed that every individual, regardless of race or gender, is entitled to basic human rights and dignity. And those rights cannot be given or taken away by others. That's also why they opposed abortion. In Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton's radical feminist newspaper, The Revolution, abortion was referred to as child murder, a degrading and disgusting crime, and on the same level as infanticide. And Anthony and Stanton, in fact, refused to accept paid advertisements for patent medicines because they were thinly disguised abortifacients.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And the loss of that revenue helped drive the revolution into bankruptcy. That's how strongly they opposed abortion.
Wow. I did not know that. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and the early feminists recognized that abortion is a symptom of women's oppression, not a solution to it. And I have some quotes from some of them if you want
absolutely,
to get into that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mattie Brinkerhoff wrote in 1869, "When a man steals to satisfy hunger, we may safely conclude that there is something wrong in society. So when a woman destroys the life of her unborn child, it is an evidence that either by education or circumstances, she has been greatly wronged." And Victoria Woodhull, who was the first woman to run for president even before women could vote, she wrote in 1875, "Men must no longer insult all womanhood by saying that freedom means the degradation of woman. Every woman knows that if she were free, she would never bear an unwished for child, nor think of murdering one before its birth."
Wow. 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 Those are pretty powerful words.
They are.
Do you think that this is, how is this translated in today's life? I mean, Marilyn, you and I have been involved in this for so long now. It's almost like, oh my goodness, really, really? It's like, time to fix it, time to fix it. And yet, you know, I see, you know, we've just fought a really hard battle with the constitutional amendment here in Ohio. And whilst we were going through that, there were so many good things though that came out of that, that I started to see, you know, while we might have lost the vote, it also exposed a lot of issues that I think needed to be exposed. And one of them is the fact that the rhetoric around abortion, is so ingrained in so many people. How do you think we get through that? What are we going to do to be able to stop the rhetoric, or at least to expose the truth?
Well, I think that most women who abort do so because they feel they have no other choices.
Yep.
And we need to let women know about our wonderful pregnancy care centers. We have, according to Ohio Right to Life, we have nearly 200 of those centers in the state of Ohio that help women with unplanned pregnancies and provide assistance through materials, support, and all kinds of, you know, maternity clothes and baby clothes, cribs, car seats, help with finding a job, parenting classes, and it's all free. And we need to let more women know that these centers exist and are there. They have the resources and the power to help women make the most of their lives and those of their children.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think you're absolutely right. I think one of the signs that we are actually winning this battle, but we've got a long way to go, folks. We've got so far to go still. Is as I'm watching what's happening at the federal level with the FBI arresting all of the prayer warriors outside of abortion facilities across the nation, and you know, people going the opposition and the wacko feminists, you know, destroying, what do they call it? Jane's Revenge people, destroying pregnancy centers and, you know, doing vandalism on churches. It has to be having an impact, and it's probably, and I mean, I don't have the statistics, but I'm just saying this from a gut perspective and wonder what you think about it. There has to be a knowledge within this particular culture that we are actually, we are making an impact on women who need the help that they should be getting from us.
Yeah. I think we need to understand that abortion doesn't liberate women. it liberates men from obligations to their children and partners. So when we say it's my body, my right, my choice, men hear, then it's your problem. So, we have to look at, a healthy, committed relationship can usually sustain an unplanned pregnancy. So we have to look at what kind of relationships women are getting into for this to be happening so often.
Mm-hmm. You're so right. You know, you're profound. Every time you and I, you're a very quiet spoken person. And every time you and I talk, I think I talk way too much. I don't let you talk enough because, oh my goodness, you're so right. I mean, that is very profound. And I think we've really got to get back to that whole idea of the commitment and, you know, just working through this. And you know, I've often have on my program Jennifer Roback Morse, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, and she talks about the sexual revolution and the damage it's done. And, you know, I think out of the sexual revolution came the feminist movement, and that was a good thing. There were many good parts of the sexual revolution of the feminist movement, but it also tended to go into an extreme, you know, situation where women were getting pushed. Actually, we're being led. And I think this is what you're talking about. We were being sold a bill of goods here, you know, so it's all about, I keep coming back to this, Marilyn, since the constitutional amendment defeat that we've just suffered, we've got to be educated. That's why, folks, it's so important. Go and get Marilyn Kopp's book that she's just written. It's an amazing. I think you'll get. It'll be a real eye opener for you. You'll be able to see all these. You'll read all of her letters that actually stood up to the test of editorial boards, and they were printed. So she's got excellent information in her books. And of course, it's called Peace Begins in the Womb, Reflections from a Pro-Life Feminist. And you can get it all out of either Google or Barnes and Nobles as well. You know, as we're talking about this, Marilyn, I'm wondering, over a little bit and talking about a little bit other parts of it. Feminism has really, I would say almost, slipped down into a sewer in the mainstream feminism. You know, when we see women sitting, you know, prancing around the street with, pink, vagina hats on their heads and, you know, screaming on the corners of streets, you know, we love our abortions and all that kind of stuff. What has happened to the feminist movement?
Well, the drive for legal abortion, which came in the late 1960s, came in response to legitimate social problems that were preventing women from reaching their fullest potential, like an unfair burden on women for nurturing children while men were given more opportunities for achievement outside the home. Things like pay equity, job discrimination, sexual harassment, domestic violence, and a lack of legal and financial rights. So, the right to vote, I mean, the drive for legal abortion, it was just the accepting abortion as the solution was just the wrong move. Mm-hmm. That's what two men convinced Betty Friedan to include abortion as a right on the agenda for the National Organization for Women. And once that happened, it quickly grew to become so widespread and a basic tenet of mainstream philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Wow. There's a wealth of information in this book, folks. We've all of us, anybody who's a pro-lifer should buy this book and just have it at your, you know, on your desk. If you need to reference anything, just let's get this book so that everybody can have it available. One last question for you, Marilyn, and answer as detailed as you want to, because I think it's very encouraging to know that you've been able to put together a book of letters published by, formerly published in news articles. In newspapers, etc. Was it difficult for you to get these letters published? And what do you suggest to the listeners if they want to get something published or to go down this route?
Well, I self-published the book, so I invested some money to get it done. But I'm
actually talking about the letters themselves. So you had all these letters, yeah. You had these letters published.
Yeah. I think if we argue from a reasonable perspective, we have just as much chance of getting printed. I've had that experience. And in the book, not only my publications, but also articles about Feminists for Life and our activities that I was involved in are also included in the book.
Did you find it difficult? I mean, did you have to really sort of badger the editors to get them printed?
No, I didn't. I've had really good luck with it for the most part.
Wow.
Not 100%, but, yeah. You know.
Enough, yeah. So it's a matter of I guess, you know, I think people get frustrated because so oftentimes whenever you're presenting these types of issues, so often the editors don't want to listen to us. But it's very encouraging to know that you've actually had all of these letters printed. So I'm encouraged.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you will be, I'm hoping that you will be at our convention and have the book available for people to purchase there. Is that so? Absolutely. We'd love to see you there because this is something, you know, we have about 1500 people that come to the convention every year, and it would be a great thing to have. And in fact, you know, one of the things we can do is to make sure that it's there. I know that our dear friend Joe's often has a booth, and I'm sure, you know, we'll talk with him and see if he can get the book there and make sure that we've got it there. So those of you that want it, we have our convention every second weekend in March every year, and we'll try to make sure that this book is there. But in the meantime, please type in Peace Begins in the Womb, or just even Marilyn Kopp's name, Marilyn Kopp, K-O-P-P. I'll put this information up on our website so that you can do that. You can go there and get it. Peace Begins in the Womb, Reflections from a Pro-Life Feminist. Marilyn, thank you so much for joining us, and God bless you for doing this.
Well, God bless you too. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, Molly. Okay,
bye. Thank you all for joining me this evening. As I say good night and God bless each and every one of you, I'd like to close with the words of the Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel. There may be times when we are powerless to prevent injustice, but there must never be a time when we fail to protest.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org, or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure, or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.